So I have a message this morning. You want to know what it's called?
Yeah.
It's called Silly String. How many know what Silly String is? Have you ever used Silly String? Come on, Silly String. Oh, I love Silly String. Oh, man, but what a mess. I thought about getting some Silly String and bringing it in this morning, and I could have shot it around a little bit. But then you know who's going to have to clean it up? Me. So I controlled myself, and I didn't bring the Silly String in. Silly String, it reminds me of those rubber band balls. You ever seen the rubber band balls? They're just like, it's a ball made of rubber bands. And they're just all different colors and sizes, and they're just all bound up in there together. And it's just one, it's a knot of confusion. I mean, you don't know where it begins and where it ends. Silly String is the same way, man. I mean, it just shoots out there, and it just goes wherever it wants to go. It's like, you know, the dandelions, when they get ready to go to seed, and those little seeds just go everywhere. So are most of our thoughts. Oh, did you know I was going to go there? Our thoughts, most often, are like Silly String. I mean, it just starts shooting out, and you don't know where it's going to go and how much you've got. Some people say, well, I'm just lost in thought. Well, you must just be really bound up in the Silly String, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, this morning I'm sitting at the table, and Kathy says, what are you thinking about? And I said, I don't know, I'm just, you know. And she says, you thinking about Scripture? Well, yeah. You thinking about church? Yeah. Well, where was I? I was just lost in all kinds of thought this morning. That's kind of how I wake up, and I greet my morning with a cup of coffee and a Disney mug. Thank you. I have a large selection of Disney mugs. When we moved, we had to get rid of some of them because we had so many. I know. Thank you, sweetheart. But most of us, our thoughts are like that. We get lost in thought, and we're on the highway going nowhere. You know, back a few years ago, Sarah Palin in Alaska, she made the statement, they want to build a highway that goes nowhere. Well, most of our thoughts are a highway that go nowhere. You get up and you sit and you're just drinking your cup of coffee, or you're going throughout the day, you're washing dishes or doing this or that or the other thing, and our minds are just random thoughts, a collective of just different ideas that are taking us nowhere. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. You see, my brother, just naturally speaking, he has a mental illness. And I'll tell you what, every kind of thought imaginable goes through his head. He has had, oh dear, some amazing experiences in his head. Things that have never really happened, but because of the mental illness, he just believes everything that pops into his head. And most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, have similar experiences with our thoughts. They're not taking us anywhere. Hold on. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 8. This is going to be one of our texts that we're going to sit on. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Then, when you meditate on it. Let's look at 3 John, verse 2. Third John, verse 2. No chapter there. If you've been to Third John, it's just like 16 sentences or something like that. 14 sentences. Third John chapter, or Third John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Oh, I just bless your word, that it may prosper and grow in our souls, that our hearts may grow and be enlarged by the things that you have for us today. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that you give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and we know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody understands that that's actual scripture that I just prayed, right? From Ephesians chapter 1. That's actual scripture. Paul prayed it. This was his constant prayer for the church, that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their spirit would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of God's calling and the glorious inheritance that he has for them as saints. What kind of an inheritance does he have for us? Glorious. Glorious. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the word for glory is the word kabod? Kabod means heavy or weighty. In other words, the glorious inheritance that he has for us is heavy. It's a weighty thing. It's not light and fluffy and floats away on clouds. It's a heavy. It's serious. It's a serious business. His glory, listen, when they finished the first temple and the priests were all coming and they were worshiping the Lord, the priests couldn't get into the temple because the glory was so heavy in the temple they couldn't get in. When the glory is so heavy you can't get in, that's the glory, that's the kabod. That's the glorious inheritance. See, we have a glorious inheritance that began the moment we got born again. The moment you said, I believe that Jesus is Lord and I receive him as Savior, you began a new inheritance. No longer was your inheritance to suffer for all eternity. No longer was your inheritance to be trampled on by an enemy you couldn't even see. Now, as soon as that happened, you had a new inheritance. We had a new glorious inheritance, the presence of God. What is it that makes that so spectacular? Well, let's think about it for a moment. In the book of Acts, Peter would walk down the street, and people would bring the sick out and lay them in the street so that when Peter walked by, his shadow, this is Peter, we're talking about Peter, the man who said three times, "Now, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him." Three times he denied Jesus when Jesus was going to the cross. But this same Peter gets such a revelation and gets such an understanding. He's the one who said, when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" "Well, you're the Messiah." It's on that rock that Jesus is the Messiah that our faith is built. That's where we come from. Is from that revelation. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. He's the Savior. Peter is walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and people are laying out their sick so that his shadow might touch them and they would be made whole. We're not talking, it wasn't Jesus doing it. It wasn't Elijah or one of the prophets. It was Peter who denied Jesus three times the night before Jesus was crucified. When we begin to intentionally focus our thoughts and we begin to remove all of the silly string and sit down to intentionally focus on a thought. See, and here in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, in other words, God's word, will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The word meditate is the Hebrew word dagah. Dagah, it's spelled H-A-J-A-H, but it's pronounced dagah, and it means to murmur. What does that literally mean? It means to imagine or ponder, to speak, to study, and to utter. So when we take the word of God and we begin to imagine it, imagine yourself full of the glory. Imagine yourself laying hands on the sick and healing them. Begin to study what God's word says about a subject. What does he say about healing? Well, Exodus 15:23, he says, "I am the Lord who heals you." He doesn't say, "I'm the Lord who waits around with a baseball bat and going to clobber you every time you mess up." He's not the Lord who says, I have a baseball bat full of sickness and disease, and when you miss the mark, I'm going to make you sick. No. He is the Lord who heals us. He's not the Lord our disease bringer. He's the Lord our healer. So when we begin to focus on and imagine those kinds of thoughts as opposed to random whatever pops into your head, insert here. Okay? Haggah, to dwell. The more we dwell on a thing, and science will tell you this, the more you dwell on something, the more you're inclined to do it. So if your every thought is to think, well, I'm going to get some sort of terrible disease. You know, it runs in my family. I'm just prepared for it. I'm just going to be real about it. My grandfather died from this, and my father died from that, and you know, all the men in our family. I know about a pastor. Every person and every male in his family died at the age of 30. They all had some heart condition, or they died from some terrible accident. But every one of the men in his family all died before they were 30. And so he grew up thinking it was his destiny to die by the age of 30, because that's what everybody did. They just did it. They just all died by the age of 30. Well, he got a hold of the Word of God and found out that God wanted him to have a long, abundant life. See, Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So if it's stealing from your life, if it's killing you in any area of your life, if it's trying to destroy you in any area of your life, then it's from the devil. This is what Jesus said. He said, but I have come to give you life and that more abundant. So when you have a silly string thought, so I was driving shortly after we got here and some things were going on behind the scenes, and I went out for a drive, and I'm driving up towards Kybers, and it's kind of raining and snowing, and I'm kind of on my way back, and I've got some worship music on, and I'm still just kind of feeling down. You know, things aren't going quite the way I thought. And driving past over there, between where the turnoff for Ice House Lake is and Bridal Veil Falls, there's this steep cliff over the side. And this thought enters my mind. Well, you could just drive over the cliff right now. You'd die and it'd all be over. I thought, yeah, that's true. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. I'm not going to do that. I got two little kids, even if I wasn't the pastor of a church. I've got two little kids, and I've got a wife at home that love me. The police are going to come and tell them that, your husband cowarded out, chickened out, potted out on the side of the road, and just went over the cliff. There's no evidence that there was any trouble or injury involved. He just decided to drive off the side of the cliff. What a great testimony that would be. Man moves to Pollock Pines, pastor of church. Things don't go well, so he drives off a cliff. Well, I can tell you right now, that's a silly string thought. Yeah. Well, see, not all silly string thoughts are silly. They just take you places. They take you places you don't want to go. How about, I've got a sore. I've got a sore spot. Oh, somebody's talking about how they had their L7 vertebrae was compacted, and my back is hurting, and, that may be what's wrong with me too. And you just nurse that thing and milk that thing, and pretty soon you die, and your tombstone says, see, I told you there was something wrong with me. Come on. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's look at Proverbs. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh or thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think in your heart that you are never going to succeed, if you have been told since you were a child that nobody in your family has ever succeeded at doing much, that they've never excelled beyond a certain place, and that you just make that the place you dwell in your heart, then that's what you're going to have. This book right here is the infallible, unerring word of God. And if he says, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they, then that's it. That's what you're going to be. Very, very dear friends of ours. Love them. They're going to be here next weekend, in fact. Her dad said for years, I'm going to die when I'm 50. I'm going to die when I'm 50. He died when he was 50. Come on, that's way too young to die. That is way too, right? That is way too young to, I'm 51. Come on. I know I don't look it. Think of all the love I'd have missed out on if I'd have just sided with the doctors when they said she's not going to make it through the night. Right? Be horrible. Glasses back on your face. Everybody goes like this all of a sudden. Kathy's aunt used to go around saying, she says, well, I don't want to live past 60. I want to kick the bucket at 60. And you know what we did? We told her, you stop saying that. We have a friend who said he wasn't going to live past 50. And he didn't. So you stop saying that. So you know what? She stopped saying that. She lived past 65. She's still with us. I mean, she's still alive. She doesn't say that anymore. She's not even a believer. Listen, as a person, it doesn't say as a believer, as a Christian. It just says as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. If you think in your heart you're successful and you can do anything you put your heart to, anything you set your mind to, everything you put your hand to prospers, then I guarantee you that's what kind of life you're going to have. You will have what you put in your heart. Well, what is your heart? You know, I was telling somebody, you just need to follow your heart. And she said, well, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked and no one can trust it. And I said, well, no. That's the unbeliever. That's the sinner's heart. Don't trust your sinful heart. It's deceitful. It's full of death. But when you're born again, your heart is you. It's the real you. It's your spirit man. It's your inward man. You could trust your inward man now, especially if you fill your inward man with the Word of God. If your inward man is fed daily on the Word of God, if you're filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can build yourself up and edify yourself. In fact, this week, our young people went to camp, and one of them came back filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh my goodness, imagine that. You went to Assembly of God Youth Camp and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. This young man says he wants to continue being in youth all the time and age out and be a leader in youth group now. Come on. Come on, that's revival. This young man went to camp and he got revived. Faith went to camp, she got revived. Come on, the youth leaders went to camp, they got revived. They're so excited they can't wait to go back next year. Come on. Listen. As a person thinks in their heart, so are they. What we put into our heart is what we're going to get out of it. You know, you've heard the old saying, what you put into life is what you're going to get out of it. Where do you think that kind of saying comes from? It comes from God. As you think in your heart, so are you. If you think that you're going to be lonely, miserable, and depressed all the days of your life, everybody loves lonely, miserable, depressed people. No! No wonder people are lonely, miserable, and depressed. The more time you spend around lonely, miserable, and depressed, the more lonely, miserable, and depressed they get, the more it starts to rub off on you. And you don't want to be around lonely, miserable, and depressed. And then lonely, miserable, and depressed is even more lonely, miserable, and depressed. Because they're lonely, miserable, and depressed, and nobody wants to be around them. No, people love a happy person. I mean, Kathy and Faith are two of the happiest people I know. I mean, they just walk into a room and they know, they believe, and they assume that everybody's going to like them, that everybody's going to love them, that they're just the light that shines in the room. And you know what? They are. People love them. People love them. You know, my dad hated math, but he wanted to be an engineer. It's kind of an odd situation there, huh? Well, you know what? You can learn math and still not like it. He helped bring Faith's grade average from an F in math to an A in math by helping her. Yeah, but you know what she did? She had to work at it. She had to work hard at it. And they'd sit there at the table, and Dad would say, well, if you're not going to work on it, I'm not going to sit here and try and help you. No, 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 don't go away. Come on, it takes work. I mean, you don't just say one thought, I'm a happy person. Well, it didn't work. You know, it's like, you know, the old story. Well, I gave 10%, nothing happened, nothing changed, I want my 10% back. Well, take it. Take it. As long as you're not happy about having given it, we don't want it. God says he loves a joyful giver. Come on, joyfully give him your life. He wants a joyfully given life. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be successful. Listen, we're meant to soar above, not crawl beneath. Soar above. God wants us rising above the situation. He wants us rising up above the circumstances of life. We're not meant to be going under. You know, he said, you are the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. If you think of yourself as the tail and always just barely suffering and getting by, that's exactly what you're going to be. Well, I'm not going to go with you. We have this friend, and one of these friends, we call them Ken and Barbie. Oh, my goodness. Oh, they're gorgeous. I mean, you know, he's Italian and like 6'2", and, you know, he's just, you know, really, you know, he's a man's man. I mean, you just, you know, you look at him and you're like, wow, he's really good looking. And then his wife comes up and she's like, she's 5'10 and she weighs 120 pounds and she's blonde hair. And she's, I mean, she's had 5 kids and she looks like she's 12 still, you know, I mean. And she comes along and she stands next to them. And I mean, they're just Ken and Barbie. Do you know what she thought? All her life, she thought she was ugly. All her life, she struggled with physical appearance. I mean, even though she looked like Barbie, she believed in her heart she was not pretty. But she started getting into the Word. She started changing. Real change doesn't begin on the outside. See, you got saved, your hair color didn't change. You know, I mean, you might have when you went home. But, I mean, it didn't change because you got saved, okay? If you were skinny when you got saved, you were still skinny afterwards. If you were carrying a few extra pounds, you still were. Okay? Your outward appearance didn't change. Your mind didn't change. What changed was your heart, the spirit. And so what we put into it is what's going to come out of it. You put Jesus into your heart, into your spirit, into the real you, and you're going to start to look and act like him. But it's not an overnight experience. It doesn't just happen overnight. It didn't just happen overnight for our friends. I mean, it's taken years for her. I mean, now she believes that she's beautiful, but not because of how she looks on the outside, but because the Word of God got on there on the inside, and it changed her view of herself. See, that's where real change happens. You say, well, you know, I prayed for God that I'd be healed from this thing, but nothing happened. Well, not that you've seen yet. Where does it start from? It starts on the inside. What you put in is what you're going to get out. You start putting healing scriptures in, you're going to start, when you get squeezed with a symptom, I'm healed, comes out. Not, I'm so sick, I can hardly stand it. You know, I've been fighting these allergies, but I'm healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. His spirit is in me, quickening my mortal body, making me whole, bringing me life. Come on, I'm still waiting for the full manifestation of this thing. But just because I haven't seen it yet doesn't mean I give up. If I give up, that means I don't trust the Word of God. If I can't trust the Word of God on things like a cold or allergies, how am I going to trust Him if I get a more serious diagnosis? What you put in when you're squeezed, when the adversary comes and he's pushing at you, we're pressed down from every side. But we're not going under. Come on. Press down. We have to get our thoughts lined up. What we put in here is going to come from here down into here. Thoughts have to be directed and intentional. We have to start thinking the word of God. We have to go back to Joshua 1:8, muttering, murmuring, imagining, confessing. And no matter what things look like, no matter how things seem, we just keep moving forward. I love Walt Disney, and I'm sure he thinks that he came up with the strategy of we just keep moving forward. But God came up with it. And that's God's motto. But Adam and Eve in the garden, the devil came along. Well, we'll just keep moving along with this thing because I got another one coming who's greater. And he's going to stomp on the head of the devil. And he's going to bring salvation to all mankind. And then anybody, whosoever chooses, can be saved. And whosoever chooses can have life. And whosoever chooses can receive the Spirit. And whosoever. I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. In other words, out of your heart flows the direction of your life. Guard it. Because if we're not guarding our heart, we'll just follow any old line of silly string anywhere it takes us, and we'll just end up someplace and we'll go, how did I get here? How did I go from this place to this place of utter despair? How did I get there? When we first lost our first baby, man, I'm telling you what, utter despair came in. Who are we looking for? Oh, okay. That's fine. Utter despair came in. We didn't know what was going on. And I got angry at God for a while. But you know what? We still had the Word of God. We still had our belief system. And we pulled ourselves up. And the Lord kept speaking to me. He said, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I couldn't find that verse in the Bible. There's not a verse that says that in the Bible. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But you know what? It's true none the same. And if something does kill you and take your physical life from you, what do you got? You got the Lord. Yeah, I mean, you're with him forever. I was talking to a buddy of mine. He's gonna come up and preach for us when we're on vacation. I'm not going to tell you when. Because it is the habit of people, if pastor's not there, they're not either. But he's a coach. He coaches baseball, and he's got some kids on his team that are Muslim, and he's talking to them about the Lord. And I just popped out of my mouth. I said, "Well, you better be careful. You don't want to get beheaded." You know, because they do that. I mean, you know that one Muslim guy. You remember the guy? He just converted to Islam. And decided that he needed to behead his Christian friend at work. This is like a year and a half ago or something. Remember that? I said, well, you know, you've got to be careful. He says, well, I don't care. He says, it's more important that this kid hear the truth about Jesus than me have a long life in this world. He says, if they behead me, I'm with Jesus anyway. What difference does it make? I mean, come on. This is a guy who's, I mean, he's in Sacramento. And teaching at a school where they want to enforce Sharia law. Right? You know, things that make you go, huh. Anyway, he corrected my thought on that. What difference does it make? The most important thing is that somebody comes to Jesus. See? We have... Our limited thinking capacity is concerned about right here, right now. What am I going to do today, this week, this month, this year? How are we going to make it? What's going to happen? So we listed our house, and it's not sold yet. And I've got tenants moving out in June and no one moving in July. So I said, well, I'm not going to be worried about it. I've got money in the bank if I have to, and then we can always re-rent it out. And Kathy was down there, and some friends of ours are moving, and she said, well, we need a place to live. All right, move in. So they're going to move in. I mean, see, we didn't worry about it. It's well. Remember this? It is well. It is well with my soul, whatever. You know, because God's going to work it out, and I'm not going to worry about it because I can't control it anyway. I mean, there are situations you can't control. Like floods. right? Now you walk into your house, you just purchased it, and the floors are all wet. You're like, come on, God. Well, God didn't do it, did he? No. You know what happened? The adversary came in like a flood. How droll. And you know what happened? My friend over here, she just trusted God that everything's going to work out. Now she's excited. She gets a new washing machine. Come on. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Come on, this is good. I need this so bad right now. Come on, we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to keep a guard over our hearts, over our thoughts, and not just let random stuff come in and let random thoughts dictate how we're going to live and how we're going to be and what's going to happen. You know? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly or natural, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. Read this carefully. Taking every thought captive to obey Christ, and we are ready to punish any disobedience once our obedience has been confirmed. What does it say to do? Take those thoughts captive. Take every thought that is in direct opposition to the word of God. Josiah said, why do you need the bat today? So we can punish those wrong thoughts. Cast them down. Don't let them hang out in your head. God is not out to get you. God is not our enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your brothers and sisters are not your enemy. I'm not your enemy. I love you. Come on. I love you guys. We're here because we want to see God move in your lives. We want to see God restore you. We want to see God build you up. We want to see God revive this place. We want to see the love of God manifested. We love you guys. We love it here. I love Pollock Pines. I come out here and I pray on the property and I'm casting off things and speaking things and commanding the glory and calling for rain. We love you. We're here for you. See? Your spouse is here for you. Mom and Dad don't hate you. They love you. You know the Bible says that God disciplines those he loves. Come on, I've been disciplined a lot by God. I must be really loved by him. I mean, just this week he told me, you know, your thoughts right from the beginning on something else. He said, your thoughts on that from the beginning have been very natural. You haven't trusted me in this area at all. They've been very natural. Okay. So I'm casting out the silly string, building up new thought life for that. Why? I'm disciplining myself. See, lots of people, you know, my dad, you know, 78, right? Grandpa Ted loves you so much right now. 78, very disciplined all his life. I'm telling you, I mean, he watches everything he eats. I mean, he has egg day. He has one egg a day, a week, unless he goes out for lunch on Sundays, which is always breakfast. But, I mean, he's at the fitness center six days a week, either five or six days a week. Well, it seems like 5 or 6 days a week. But he does cardiovascular exercise, and he does weight resistance training. And you want to look like that at 78? Well, it takes discipline. Come on. I like ice cream. You can see my discipline. Praise the Lord. But we have to take every thought that is contrary to the word of God. When the doctors say something, I heard about a preacher, man, I'm telling you what, he got a diagnosis from the doctor. It was a death sentence and it was coming quick. It was the most aggressive form of cancer. He went home. He didn't even say the name of it to his wife. He is free and clear from that thing today. Come on. A neuroscientist by the name of Dr. Caroline Leaf, she said, you can reprogram your brain. You can reprogram your thoughts. You can reprogram your own DNA by the things you think. That sounds like what God says, doesn't it? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think that you're going to die of cancer like everybody else in your family ever did, then for sure, certain, that's going to happen to you. If you think that you're going to be the first one to come out of that curse and live the full life that God intended for you, then you will be. Amen? You can do it, but it takes a disciplined thought life. Amen? Listen, God wants us to soar above. Paul with the thorn in the flesh. Here's the real deal with Paul and the thorn in the flesh. Law first mentioned in Bible study. Go back to the first time a thorn in the flesh is mentioned. What is it? It's all the people around Israel, and God told them to get rid of them. Paul was sent a thorn in the flesh, and it says in the scripture, he says, a messenger of Satan. It wasn't from God. God didn't send something on him. It was a messenger of Satan. You go and read it yourself. 2 Corinthians 12. Is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 12? I can't remember. But we'll look it up and find it for sure. But I know it's chapter 12 of Corinthians, 1st or 2nd. And he says, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me for this reason. Through the abundance of revelation, so to keep me, 1st, 2nd, 2 Corinthians 12. It's 2 Corinthians 12. It was sent to keep him from excelling above the normal stature of man. The messenger of Satan. It wasn't a messenger of God. God didn't send it. It was people wherever he went. And he talks about it. I mean, he was through tribulation, trials. He was stoned, beaten, left for dead. And I prayed God three times that he would remove this thorn in the flesh from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What is grace? Well, it's not so you can just live however you want to. It's the strength of God to help you overcome. It's the strength of God that sees you through when you're going through trials and tribulations. That's what the grace of God is. There you go, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Amen? Listen, we cast down those thoughts. God's not after us except to give us a good life. 3 John chapter 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper in your souls and in your heart and in your life and have a good life. Come on. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you to prosper you and to give you a good life. This is God. His plans are always to benefit us, to help us, to soar. You want to be like Peter walking down the street. Come on. I try to imagine that. Walking down the street and people are putting out the sick so that they could be touched by my shadow and be healed. Laying hands on the dead and seeing them rise. Oh, come on. Smith Wigglesworth. Come on. He was on a boat and a man had passed away. And he went in and he picked the man up off the deathbed, threw him up against the wall, commanded life into him. You know what happened? He fell to the floor. So he did it again. Man fell to the floor dead again. Third time. Most of us would have quit after the first time. Third time. Throws him up against the wall. Man inhales, takes deep breath, back to life again. Scared all the people. This man was dead. When we really get the Word of God in us and let the Word of God control who we are and how we feel and what we do, then we can soar above and we can live a higher life, the life that God has called us to. Amen? It's our inheritance. It's our glorious inheritance. Might as well get used to it now, because when we get to heaven, I mean, we're just going to be surrounded by the glory of God. I want to start now. Don't you? I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you for your word and your spirit coming together for a great end time force for you. We thank you that we're walking in liberty and life, healing and restoration. We thank you, Father, that you're reviving us today, that you're waking us up out of slumber. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.